Hey, before we get back to failing to answer your car questions, we need to talk about 2020. Boy, what a lousy year this has been, huh? We've been isolated from our friends and families. We have to put on a hazmat suit to go to buy Cheerios. And look, I'm talking to you not from a radio studio, but from my closet. Acoustics courtesy of my powder blue leisure suit and my extensive flannel shirt collection. But you know what made this year bearable? You and everyone else in the public radio community. We were isolated physically, but we're still together. In fact, I can almost smell Scott Simon's cologne as we speak. Seriously, despite the pandemic and everything else, Terry Gross has kept us company with fantastic interviews. Steve Inskeep has been here every morning to keep us thinking. My brother and I allow you to escape reality entirely for an hour a week. And I don't know how I would have gotten through this summer without all things Pacassandra. And now you know it's coming, right? Your station needs your help. Those underwriting checks from Rocco's Bolodrome haven't exactly been flying through the door like they were in 2019. Pandemic or not, your station still needs to pay reporters, producers, editors, and the electric bill. Not to mention the dry cleaning. You don't think we're all going to broadcast from our closets with the smell of last week's Zupa de Beige all over everything. Your donation, whatever the amount, will make a difference. Please take a minute now and go to donate.npr.org/cartalk. That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. And here's to a healthier, more normal 2021. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Civility here at Car Talk Plaza. Yeah. Read the letter, will you, you jerk?
Well, it's more than civility, actually. This is from Tom Burke, B-O-U-R-Q-U-E.
Bork, I would say.
Bork.
Yeah.
Dear Hoosits.
Rhymes with jork.
Dear Hoosits, I've just read a bunch of letters sent to you guys, and I noticed that almost without exception, the letter writers insulted you. He noticed that. I think that is mighty rude of them, so I'd like to address a few words to those mean-spirited letter writers. Dear mean-spirited letter writers, just because it's true, do you tell your spouse that he or she is fat and ugly? Just because it's true, do you tell your boss that he's a moron? Just because it's true, do you look at yourself in the mirror and say you must be the most pathetic, worthless human being on the planet? Of course not.
Right.
So why pick on Tom and Ray?
Right.
Right. Just because they are in no position to poison your pancakes, downsize your job out of existence, or force you to commit suicide is no reason to be rude to these ridiculous idiots. Backhanded here. They deserve to be treated with the same silent contempt as judges and police officers. Save your cruel remarks for those who asked for it. Politicians. Tom and Ray may be stupid and obnoxious, but that is no reason to throw it in their faces. How about a little civility? There, I feel better.
Well, that's very, very kind words.
Thank you, Tom. You're a sweet, sweet man.
Yes, and compassionate and understanding and empathetic.
And a real jerk.
Well, look, we're gonna...
Let me get that part again. Get this. Tom and Ray may be stupid and obnoxious.
He didn't say are. Maybe.
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 That's the best we've ever gotten.
Maybe. This is...
You Which may be a moron.
Well, it introduces an element of doubt. I feel honored.
That's and like the review we got.
I feel warm and fuzzy now.
Our little bluegrass band played at a benefit one time. And we're not the most accomplished musicians. But
no, we're not.
We're not. But the review we got in the newspaper was that we, quote, weren't half bad. We were thrilled. We thought we were all bad.
I framed that. I have it up on my wall.
So do I.
Not half bad.
Not half bad. He called me up right away. Did you read that?
So well, I think we have made great strides in the last few years. At least we all start at the same time. And we end at the same time. What goes on in the middle is still up for grabs. But
with
you. You have to take one step
you
at a time.
You take one step at a time. Yeah.
And if you have a question about your car, we'll take one step at a time in trying to solve it. Our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Paul Jacobowski, calling from Mountaintop, Pennsylvania.
Mountaintop, Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir.
Mountaintop. That sounds like a nice, breezy place.
Well, it's by the Poconos.
Ah, cool.
Well, so anyway, what's the nature of your call?
Okay, why I'm calling is I have an 88 Mazda 323 sedan. Mm-hmm. Smokes like a chimney.
Oh.
And I really don't want to put any more money into this car, but I'm just wondering how long this is going to last me keeping oil in it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I make a nice cocktail for it periodically. I get a can of one of those, it just looks just about like jelly that they sell that's supposed to stop it from smoking, and I mix it with a quart of 30.
Motor Medic!
That's the cocktail I give the car every couple of weeks.
Yeah. So every week you try something different. Yeah, and sooner or later, you'll give up.
Exactly.
Yeah, save your money because you needed to buy oil.
I was at a fast food restaurant one day last week, and I placed my order, pulled up to the window, paid, was waiting for my food. The car behind me actually backed up. I think I was filling his car with smoke.
Oh, yeah, you're a menace to society. I mean, what you need, unfortunately, is a ring job.
Yeah.
But you don't want to do that.
I don't think so, no.
Even if you needed a valve job, you wouldn't do it, would you?
Well, what I want to do, I want to get it till spring. Then I'll put it to rest.
Well, how willing are you to experiment?
What else could I put in there, crackers?
No, you can put in the mixture of half motor oil, half kerosene.
Half motor oil, half kerosine.
Don't do it.
Come on, Paul.
It didn't work for me, but it doesn't mean it won't work.
Old wives' tales and rumors.
There's some grain of truth,
and this must have worked for somebody, and that somebody could be you, Paul.
It could be.
I mean, could it possibly smoke any more than it's smoking?
Well, the truth is that I know now that the reason it didn't work in my truck is that I had broken rings.
Right, which broke because of the kerosene.
Now, that's the deal, too. I live in Mountaintop. I got to climb a 3-mile hill every day, and that car roars over. I take it out of overdrive. I can go over that 65 miles an hour, so it has a lot of power.
Yeah, you've got plenty of compression. Your compression rings are okay. I suspect the oil control rings are stuck. And I think I'd try the kerosene and motor oil.
I have to say, half.
So that's a new cocktail I could use this week.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you can't run it very long. Mm-hmm. You can't run it very long with this in there. You've got to run it for a short while, maybe a half an hour or an hour.
And then drain it.
And then drain it. And hope that you still have some engine bearings left. Come on, Paul. Be a sport.
I mean, it's okay because you really have nothing to lose.
Right.
I mean, I would love to hear from someone who would hear this story
and write to us and say. Wait. Wait!
Another?
Yes!
The bananas!
No! The pellets!
The pellets. Do you have the J.C. Whitney catalog?
No.
Get the J.C. Whitney catalog. Wait, the pellets didn't work either.
Yeah, they worked for a few days at a time. What you do is you take out the spark plugs, and you put one pellet in each cylinder.
Yeah.
And you put the plugs back in, and you start the thing up, and the pellet goes bang, bang, boom, bang, boom, and disintegrates and coats the cylinder walls with metal, pelletized metal. And therefore makes the pistons fit more tightly in the cylinders because you've added thickness to the cylinder wall.
Of course. Wow.
Yeah.
The pellets. What are these pellets made of?
St. John's wort.
They're the cure for everything now, you know.
Oh, my.
They cure everything.
Good luck, man.
Good luck, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Keep us posted.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK
or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. How are you? This is Vanessa Nagel calling from Middletown, Connecticut.
Hi, Vanessa.
Middletown, Connecticut. How well I know it.
How's that?
I went to Wesleyan University.
That's right next door.
Well, for an hour.
Are you a student, Vanessa?
No, I'm not a student.
Okay.
Nope. I've done my share of studying. I'm done.
Good for you.
You're done. Well, you sound youthful.
Then why are you in Middletown, Connecticut, which, according to people I know, has nothing?
Yeah.
I mean, did you move there from somewhere else?
I moved there from Manchester, Connecticut.
Oh, that explains a lot. Okay,
I give up. What's up, Vanessa?
Well, I'm calling about my beloved 93 Pontiac Sunbird.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, when I am shifting into a new gear, when it's at the low RPMs of the new gear, right when I shift in, there's a rattle, and it does like a Like a high-pitched rattle, kind of like that.
Is it a tinny rattle? Like, does it sound like a...
A paper clip in a coffee can rattling around.
Kind of, yes. Yeah. And it's, okay. Again, it doesn't continue. It's for like a second or two at the most.
And I bet you, if you checked, you would find it at the same RPM whether you were in second gear, third gear, fourth gear.
Yes.
So if we're occurring at like 2,900 RPM.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you sure of that answer, Vanessa? Because that puts us on a completely different tack.
Not me. Well, not me,
not you,
baby.
But me, baby.
Not me. Well, I don't have any idea what it is, so it isn't putting me on a different track. No. Without exaggeration, we've answered this question 25,000 times. You have a loose heat shield.
A heat shield, okay.
On your exhaust system.
Uh-huh.
It's possible that one of the heat shield welds is broken, and what you're hearing when you hit a certain RPM is what's called a sympathetic vibration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this thing is going, and then if you give it more gas or less gas, it goes away immediately.
Correct. If the vibration had any sympathy, it would stop doing this.
It would. But you're going to have to make it stop by taking it into your shop.
Okay.
And take the person around for a ride.
Okay.
And make it make the noise, and they'll know immediately what it is.
If it happens that you discover that it's not true that you what you just said to my brother, that it happens at the same RPM every time.
Yeah. You think she'd lie?
she said she thought so. But I'm sure that she never really consciously thought of it before. If you find out that it's happening at different RPMs,
sure,
depending on what gear you're in, it's possible that your timing is off.
Oh, okay.
And I would ask you to try climbing a hill with the car, but there aren't any hills anywhere near Middletown that I know of.
Yes, there are. So I live on a hill.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Do you notice that it's worse coming up the hill?
I can't say that. I'll have to check.
You have to see. Oh.
She can't say that, but you notice she did say
she did
it
say,
occurred
yeah.
at the same RPM, no matter what gear she was in.
In which case, my brother is right, and it's the heat shield.
All right.
See you, Vanessa.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for
okay.
your call.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK, as I said earlier, 888-2-278-255.
I got it.
Or 255, so I don't confuse anyone. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Justin.
Justin, where you from?
I'm from Boca Raton, Florida.
Hey, what's up?
I have a 71 Super Beetle.
Jeez. You know, we get all these calls from Florida.
It's a nice car. She's pink. Her name's Marilyn.
Yeah.
And there's a long story behind that, but there's only one problem with her. A couple months ago, I picked up I lost...
We don't want to know anything about your love life. Just tell us about the car.
Right. And then she... No, I lost third and fourth gear. And
really?
Obviously, I needed a transmission.
Mm-hmm.
So I hopped down to this place nearby, and they're a real mom-pa place, and they're real reliable, and all they do is Volkswagens, old Volkswagens. It's a graveyard of sorts. And I picked up a transmission, and I put her in myself, and it was a pain and a half, but I got it in. And there's only one problem with it now. It runs fine. All the gears are real smooth. I put new transmission oil in everything. And when I put her on the road, and when I get her in the third gear, it's just a little whining. It's not really a whining. It's like a squeaking sound. It's like, sort of like that, like a mouse. If I didn't know better, I'd think it was a mouse.
But and it happens.
It's in third gear and at the low RPMs of fourth, and then it escapes. And there's no, you can't tell when you're in the car except for the squeaking noise. It doesn't.
Yeah.
But I would like to know if that's any impending doom.
My guess would be that when you put the engine back in,
mm-hmm.
you didn't tighten everything up.
On purpose, you mean?
And what you're hearing is the engine sloshing around back there. Because, I mean, the fact that it happens in third gear, I'll bet you it happens in third gear, say in fourth gear. Once you get up to high speed in fourth gear, on a flat road, I'll bet you the noise goes away. What does that mean, I wonder? Because what's happening is when you're in a low torque situation,
mm-hmm.
when you're asking the engine to do more than it can do, which is when you just shift into fourth or third, then what's happening is the engine is basically shaking.
Okay.
And what you're hearing is shaking. So that would make me believe that you didn't put everything back together as tightly as it was when you took it apart.
Unlikely, but possible. But why wouldn't that happen? Why wouldn't that affect second gear then?
Because second gear's got so much power. First and second gears have so much power that you're not asking the engine to do what it can't do.
Eureka!
This sounds like BS to me.
Okay, but impending doom is not on my horizon.
I don't think it's impending doom, no. Now, I don't think it has anything to do with the transmission.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. The voice of reason hasn't spoken yet.
Yeah, come on, beat that. Let me see you beat that theory.
Well,
the truth is, I've heard this noise on Beatles all the time. It's either the noise from the engine. It goes like either it's that or it's people next to you laughing at you for driving such a stupid car.
Now, wait a minute, Justin. Now, the noise, if you're driving along in third and you hear the noise, it's a regular cyclical noise. That is, it increases in frequency as you increase your vehicle speed.
No, it does not.
It does not.
He didn't want that answer. He didn't want that answer, Justin.
Wait a minute. It is not a cyclical noise. So, in other words, it doesn't correspond to some numbers of revolutions. There isn't a proportion between the number of revolutions of the wheel and the number of revolutions, the frequency of this noise.
Or inversely proportional.
It's not proportional at all.
It's a steady figure, one or two a second.
Right. No matter how fast you're going. Here's what you do, Justin.
Okay.
Start up the engine and get back there with a screwdriver and start lowering the idle speed.
Okay.
Get it down so it's idling, if it will idle, at 500 RPM or less.
It will.
So it's just barely running. The noise will occur because the engine will be shaking like it is when you're in third and fourth gear. And you'll be right there, and you'll hear it coming right out from that big fan shroud, and you'll be able to put your nose right near it and say, I didn't tighten that bolt, and that'll be the end of it.
Did you take the engine and transaxle out all at once?
They weren't attached. I took one out and then the other out.
You took the engine out first?
Yes.
Right, and then you took the and then you put them back in that order.
Right, correct.
Hopefully.
Right, reverse order.
Reverse order, right.
Well, I'm going to guess maybe my brother's right. I hate
Whoa,
to admit
my
this.
God.
I hope no one's listening. If you're listening, turn off your radio. But he may be right. It may be the fan hitting the shroud that's even making the noise.
Why?
If it isn't, then it's impending doom and the transmission is going to spill its guts on the highway.
But if you turn the idle way down, you will simulate the condition and you'll hear it.
And you did this when you were putting the motor back in. You were pushing the engine trying to get it back in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I thought I did a really good job.
No, yeah. You probably didn't. Yeah, but maybe you did.
Yeah, well, we'll find out soon.
Well, if something falls out,
impending doom.
Call the legal.
It is not impending doom. Okay. Squeaks are rarely impending doom.
You didn't have Did you have the axles out? The wheels, end of the axles?
No.
Okay, I was just checking.
Okay.
Don't worry. You're gonna find it. You're gonna send us a thank you on the back of a $20 bill. I'm sure you will do that.
Yeah, which is all he's gonna get for the car when he junks it. See you later, Justin.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Now, before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break. Do you know why?
Yeah, so you can figure out the answer.
That's right. We'll be back in a minute.
I remember Sunday driving in my grandpa's car. Old songs on the radio, the smell of his cigar. Everybody'd honk at him because he'd drive so slow. Well, he'd just laugh and tell me, kid, here's something you should know. They're all jerks when you're out here on your own. Just assume that everybody else is half asleep or stoned. They're all jerks. Not a one knows how to drive, so you gotta pay attention to make it home alive. I'll give you my philosophy, I guarantee it works. Repeat it after me, kid. They're all jerks.
And even though Fyodor Dostoevsky wishes he had called it the Cousins Karamazov whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, a truly affordable online counseling service. Fill out a questionnaire online and get matched with a licensed counselor best suited to your mental health needs, whether it's depression, anxiety, or trauma. BetterHelp will help you overcome what stands in the way of your happiness. Learn more at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month with promo code CARTALK. BetterHelp. Get help anytime, anywhere.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Does your economy seem sluggish? Are your interest rates feeling abnormally low? Your economy might be exhibiting symptoms of a once-in-a-lifetime recession. Ask your podcast provider about a twice-weekly dose of Planet Money. The economy can be perplexing. NPR's Planet Money can help.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was from my Prisoner and Hat series of puzzles, and it was sent in by someone named David Young. I think he must have stolen it from Clink and Who's Gal magazine. But anyway, here it is. It's Christmas Day, and the warden calls three prisoners into his office, you know, and he tells them, in honor of the holiday, one of you is going to have a chance to get out of here. Other than the traditional way of, you know, of going tunneling. And here's the
going
deal.
Through the tunnel.
I'm going to line you up single file and blindfold you. And after I blindfold you, I'm going to put hats on your heads. And I have in my possession here three white hats and two black hats. Got it? Three white, two black. But I'm only going to use three of them, obviously. So each of you is going to be wearing either a black hat or a white hat. And the first person to guess what color hat he has on gets released. Of course, bear in mind, if you guess wrong, you get thrown into solitary confinement for the next year, and you'll be listening to an endless loop of car talk. So nobody's going to guess unless they know for sure. So he lines them up, blindfolds them, and puts a hat on each of them, and then he removes the blindfold. Since they're in a line, the guy in the back can see the two people in front of him.
And their hats.
And, of course, their hats. And the fellow in the middle can see just the one in front of him, and the guy in front can see nobody. So the warden says to the fellow in the back, the last guy, we'll call him prisoner number three, can you tell me what color your hat is? The fellow in the back says nothing. He doesn't know. The fellow in the middle, we'll call him prisoner number two, is asked the same question. Can you tell me what color your hat is? He, too, is unable to answer. The guy in the very front, who can see no hats, he's staring at the wall, don't forget. He says, I know what color hat I'm wearing.
Of course he knows.
What color was his hat and how did he know?
It was white.
Yeah.
And he knew because the other two guys didn't know.
That's right. If prisoner number three had seen two black hats,
he'd know his was white.
He'd know his was white because there were only two black hats available to the
right.
warden. And because he said nothing, he must have seen either two white hats or a black and a white.
Exactly.
If prisoner number two had seen a black hat in front of him, he would have known that, in fact, he was wearing a white hat.
Exactly.
Because if he had a black hat on, then the guy at
prisoner
the very
number
back...
Prisoner number three would have known that he had a white one.
And because he didn't say anything, and prisoner number two didn't say anything, then prisoner number one, who could see nothing, knew
exactly.
He had a white hat. And he was going to be home for Christmas. So who's our winner?
I think that was a wonderful puzzler, especially since I figured it out while you were saying it.
Oh, yeah, and Dougie figured it out, too. That was the only thing that made me worry.
The winner this week is Charlie Brown. Charles Brown from Brookville, Pennsylvania. And for having his answer selected at random from among all those correct answers that we got, too. Charlie is going to get from us a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, where he can get our new CD called Maternal Combustion, Calls About Mums and Cars. And Charlie, if we're out of them, don't worry, because in a couple of days, they'll be piled up to the ceiling in the returns department.
Anyway, we have a brand new, I would have to say, barely automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show, one that anyone could do.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions about your car.
About anything.
In the number 1-888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Kathy from Old Lyme, Connecticut.
Hi, Kathy from
Kathy
Old Lyme.
Kathy with a C.
With a what?
C.
No.
Old Lyme?
Lyme
with a K?
With a Y.
It's yes, Lyme with a Y, Kathy with a K.
No kidding.
Yes.
So what's up, Kathy?
Well, I have a 96 Dodge Stratus, and this fall, after I had driven it, maybe 25, 30 miles, the exhaust started smelling like burnt popcorn.
That's a new one, burnt popcorn.
Well, it took us a while to try to figure out what it smelled like, and I've got two adolescent sons, and we hemmed and hawed and finally figured out, closest we could come up with was burnt popcorn.
Yeah.
and it's definitely coming from the exhaust.
Out the tailpipe.
The tailpipe, right.
Burnt popcorn, huh?
Well, wow. I'm wondering if it might be. I don't drive very far on a very regular basis. I work within a mile or two of where I live, so I do a lot of short little trips.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I
That's
believe.
That's got nothing
it.
To do with this.
No, because I was wondering if I was developing a primordial soup in my muffin.
You no. may be, but I think the smell is not really coming from your muffler.
Mm-hmm.
Oh! Or coming out the tailpipe. But it is
oh.
It is coming from the engine compartment.
You think so?
And I think the most likely thing to make a smell like this is a very small oil leak.
Mm.
And somehow or another, the oil is dripping onto your exhaust system, and when it's vaporized, it makes this smell.
Yeah, and it's very unlikely that something coming out the tailpipe would smell of burnt popcorn. Now, you have a couple of teenagers?
Actually, one teenager and a 12-year-old.
Close enough. You get them to go walking around the car, sticking their nose up that tailpipe, and see...
Asphyxiate them good here. Huh?
No, they'll be all right. And I'll
After you revive them.
And I'll bet you they'll find that the smell is not, in fact, coming from the tailpipe, but is coming from under the hood.
You could alternatively, instead of exposing your children to carcinogens...
I could do it to my husband, right?
Sure, let your husband do it.
You could take it to the dealer and ask them to put it on the lift and look for an oil leak, and I bet you they're going to find something like your oil pressure switch is leaking or the valve-covered gasket is leaking.
Okay.
See you, Kathy.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Dave. I'm up in Hanover, Massachusetts.
Dave, Hanover.
Where's that?
About 20 minutes south of Boston.
Oh, that's like down the Cape, sort of.
Yeah, only about halfway.
I've never been. Is it exciting?
No, it's kind of a quiet little sleepy town.
Yeah.
Little suburb.
So what's on your mind, Dave?
Well, I have an 89 Volkswagen Golf that I've had for about 3 years now. It's got about 130,000 miles on it.
Mm.
Every once in a while, it starts to click as you're driving it. And then when you're driving along, it all of a sudden, the whole front end will start to shake, like the car is about to, like, shake apart.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, but it doesn't do it all the time. And I have no idea what makes it do it and what doesn't make it do it. And I brought it to a mechanic, and they had no idea what it was.
Is the clicking in step with the rotation of the wheels?
It sounds like it.
And it would stop if you stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you took off again, you'd begin to get clicks. More or less in step with the speed of the wheels.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's accompanied by a vibration.
Yes.
This sounds dangerous, Dave.
Yeah, I have to preface everything my brother is going to tell you by saying that whenever you have vibrations in the front end, it's probably something dangerous, or at least you should assume that it's something dangerous.
It feels dangerous.
So you've had people look at this.
I have had people look at it. And they replaced something, and it stopped for about a week and a half, and then it started again.
Ooh, ooh.
Had it ever gone a week and a half without doing it before?
Oh, yeah, it goes for like 2 weeks without doing it. And then
so they may not have done diddly when they replaced whatever they replaced.
Yeah?
Well, I think I know what it is.
Do you really?
I think.
Okay.
I think what you have, Dave, is a bad constant velocity joint, which would account for the clicking and also account for the shaking. Because what's happening is one of the balls in there must be broken. The constant velocity joint has, in this car, I think, 6 ball bearings that are embedded in a cage that fit into, and there's a male part of the joint and a female. And
see, what you're missing, Dave, is my brother's hands.
What?
See, as he's talking to you, he's making little shapes, and he's pushing things together.
Well, I have to do that to explain it to myself. The first step is making sure I know how it works. In any event, one of these little ball bearings, which are about a half an inch in diameter, has probably broken and probably occasionally jams itself so that it inhibits the free movement of the outer part of the Zeppa joint.
Okay.
And when that happens, it actually, as it turns, whenever it comes to this bad ball and it can't flex, it momentarily slows that wheel down.
All right.
And then as soon as it passes, it speeds it up. And it would be the equivalent of you're driving the car and having somebody apply the brake for just a split second.
To the right-hand wheel.
To the right or the left front wheel.
Okay.
And when that happens, the car is going to shake violently.
All right.
Then the ball either gets chewed up some more or gets moved around, and the noise goes away, and so does the shaking.
See, now this is the time, Dave, when you're supposed to say, Well, they just replaced all the CV joints in the car.
Well, I had a hint that they hadn't.
No, they hadn't, because it would have cost more money and he wouldn't have forgot.
What did they replace?
I think they replaced the rotors, actually.
Yeah, well, that would have been a good start, but...
But you guys think it's one of these...
We start with stuff like that, too, because we want to make sure we have the customer coming back until we finally get it.
No, I think I have to say that I think my brother's analysis of this situation is quite brilliant.
Okay. It explains everything.
It explains everything. It's absolutely perfect.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
And as you know, I don't let him get away with much.
Oh, I know. He's a pain in the butt. But ask him to replace one of the axles. Put a rebuilt one or a used one in there.
Okay.
And then drive the car. They may even, when they take the axles out, be able to figure out if they strip off the boots, which joint is bad.
I think they will.
All right. And how much will that cost, do you guys think?
Hundreds.
Hundreds?
Golf? $212.85. That includes the tax and tip.
And licensing fees. See you, Dave.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Carla, and I'm calling from Homer, Alaska.
What's happening?
I have a 1978 Toyota pickup truck.
Uh-huh.
Well, I bought it in October, and I've had several things happen to it. But last time I drove it, I could drive it with a full tank of gas only. If it got down anywhere below a full tank of gas, I couldn't drive uphill with it. I'd have to turn around and drive up backwards.
So you would actually back up the hills?
Uh-huh. I mean, it would go uphill frontward all the time, or the normal direction, until I started putting weight in the back of the truck, and I put a grader blade in for traction.
Do all the wackos move to Alaska?
No.
I mean, were you born in Alaska, or did you...
Oh, no.
No, I was exiled here.
Is this some kind of punishment? Were you bad in parochial school or something? Did the nuns send you there?
Alaska, 1 year.
Oh, it's woke.
Oh, gosh, no, it's been 18.
18.
Yeah.
I hate the pry, but what the hell are you doing there?
Oh, I think my parents are still wondering that same question.
They're there, too?
No.
No, they're not there.
They're in California, right?
No, they're in Washington.
Washington. Oh. Uh-huh. So what... Again, like I said, I hate the pry, but why did you move there? And what? Give us a day in the life of Carla from Homer.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Well, you went there seeking adventure, huh?
I did.
You could have told us you were from San Diego, and we wouldn't have asked you any of these questions, but you divulged you were from Homer, and now you're going to have to spill your guts.
Oh, it was an accident. I was on my way. I was actually moving out of my hometown to, which is eastern Washington, to the west coast of Washington State.
Yeah.
And I detoured.
You got lost.
With a friend, and it didn't look that far on the map, so we drove here.
Male or female friend?
Male.
Male friend, yeah.
Yeah, he ditched you, right? He's gone.
No, she ditched him.
Gone. Yeah, he's long gone. Right, he's one long... winter was enough to get him out of there. What are you, crazy?
But you liked it.
I liked it. I used to like it a lot better. I like it. I would like it better if I was gone out of here for a month or so.
Are you ready to come home now, Carla?
Yes. Yeah. I want to go.
Would you
home.
Like us to help you fix your truck so you can drive home?
Will you promise that you'll drive home if we tell you how to fix the truck?
And stay home?
My mother would be so happy to hear this.
I mean, what? How long will it take to get to see Mom? Like 20 hours?
Oh, if I drive straight, well, let's see. If I drive straight
figure
through.
Figure on three breakdowns.
No. I mean, if you drive straight through, you can meet.
If I can drive in forward straight through, I could get there in 3 days. But if I have to drive in reverse, it'll take me at least a week.
You can meet Sergeant Preston in Dawson.
3 days?
3 days. That's, I think, how much time it took last time. But, you know,
wow.
We stopped.
All right.
Ate and slept a little bit.
All right, let's get to work then.
Let's okay.
What was the problem?
Won't climb a hill in forward gear.
Won't climb a hill in forward gear.
Unless the gas tank is full. And the reason it won't climb the hill is that your fuel pump is probably not working anymore. Now, you can tell us you put a new fuel pump in, but I know you didn't.
No, are you kidding?
Your fuel pump is not sucking the gas out of the tank. And by driving the thing up the hill backwards, you're relying on gravity to convey the fuel from the tank to the carburetor.
Well, that makes sense.
But when you go the other way, you've got to actually pull the gas uphill along with the truck.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Right, because the tank is where? behind you.
Behind me.
and the fuel pump can't do it. I mean, you could have a busted fuel line, too. You could have a rupture or even a pinhole in the line between the pump and the tank, and that would accomplish the same thing. It would give you inadequate fuel supply.
Do you have a halfway decent mechanic?
I am a halfway decent mechanic.
You are? Okay.
You are she.
You're it. All right. So you're going to just go out, and you're going to buy yourself a fuel pump, and you're going to put it in yourself.
Yes.
All right, so you never gave us a day in the life of Carla from home. I mean, do you have a job?
yeah, I do it. Not a real job, not this time of year. I work in the summertime. I work for the Department of Fish and Game.
That's only 2 days. What do you do the rest of the
day? work on my truck.
No. Well, Carla, I've got to tell you.
What?
You have got to move back to civilization. You are depriving humanity of what sounds like a very wonderful person.
Yeah.
So it's been a pleasure talking to you, and you should move back to civilization where everyone else can enjoy your company, too.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thank you.
Because I wouldn't mind having coffee with you, kid.
Oh, well, you don't have any other brothers, do you?
Yeah, I got one.
Me, too.
I got one brother, and his wife would be more than happy to get rid of him. No, we can have coffee. We don't have to have
it doesn't have to be amorous.
Come on. We can just have coffee.
Yeah, you've been up there too long. Lighten up, will you?
Carla. Try to find a warm place and do this job.
Soon.
And give me a call when you get to Washington.
Okay.
We'll meet you for coffee.
Good luck.
Okay. See you, Carla. And hey, call your mother.
Oh, I will.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
My God.
Well, I mean, I had to ask. I mean, I knew it wasn't polite.
I mean, you have to ask. What the hell is she doing up there?
I mean, come on. I mean, the speed of adventure does overtake you. I mean, I've got to admit that if I were in a truck and I were in the state of Washington.
And you were 16 years old
I'd
and someone
tempted.
Said it's only 3 days to Alaska, hang a right, you do it.
What an adventure.
Sure.
For a week.
But to forget to come back? I mean, come on.
All right, it's time to take another short break.
And we'll be back with news, weather, and the cricket score right after this brief message.
She always laughs about the car she used to drive. Pretends they're older than they were. She never crashed them, so to this day they survive. And she reclines upon her fur.
And even though cardiologists everywhere say, "Aw, pass the trans fat," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
Hey, it's me again. Just a reminder that if you haven't pledged yet to your local station, now is a great time to do it. Why? Because you're listening to Car Talk, so we know you won't miss anything important. And your station is counting on you, and they're literally waiting to hear from you. You can pledge online right now by going to donate.npr.org/cartalk. That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. Thanks. Ha! We're back listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Bailey Automotive Puzzler.
Yeah, I can hardly wait.
Pay attention now.
Okay. I'm going to close my eyes and meditate on this. Go ahead.
A woman and her husband decide to go shopping one Saturday for a used car.
Mm-hmm.
This is the automotive part of the puzzler. So okay. They go to the neighborhood used car dealer, and mm-hmm. a young man is showing them around the parking lot. You know, he's showing them various cars, and they don't seem to be really excited about any one of them. And finally, he says, "Oh, how could I have forgotten this one? I have just the car for you. I know you're going to love it." And he takes them over to this late model Japanese car. And he says, "You're not going to believe this," he said, "but this car belonged to my fourth grade teacher, Miss Johnson. And it's a wonderful car. And she treated it very well, had all the service done here. And interestingly, she never left town with the car. All she ever did with the car was she drove from home to school and back, and on Sundays she went to church and never used the car on Saturday." And they look over the car, and it looks magnificent. And so the woman asks the obvious question, well, why did Mr. Johnson sell the car? And he says, well, you know, as luck would have it, she was called out of town on very short notice to care for a sick relative in the Midwest someplace. So she came in here last week and sold us the car. And, of course, it's your good fortune that it's here. Mm. But this is a wonderful car. So the woman gets in behind the wheel and starts up the engine. It sounds fine. And the husband sits in the passenger seat. And she fiddles with the controls on the dashboard, tries the wipers, blows the horn, mm-hmm. looks around the car, and the husband says, geez, hon, I think we ought to get it. And it's such a cute color, too. And she says, as she turns off the key.
She says, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I could see it coming.
He's lying to us.
Wow.
And the question is, how did she know? And the answer is not that the salesman was moving his lips.
Wow. I love it.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill or a half-eaten apple. Or any half-eaten fruit. And send it to us.
Yeah, but pears don't hold up.
They don't mail well.
They don't mail well.
You know why?
The
stamps don't stick on them.
That's right. But apples are good.
Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, my name's Eddie. I'm from Tilton, New Hampshire.
T-I-L-T-I-N, like the Tilton Hilton?
No, like T-I-L-T-O-N.
Oh, okay.
And what I have is a 1985 Ford F-150 pickup.
You didn't have to tell us you had a pickup. You said you were from New Hampshire. All you had to say is Ford, and we didn't know.
Oh, okay. Well, it will start and run fine, and then the next day I get in it, and I turn the key, and I get nothing. I mean, I'm lucky to get a battery light sign come on, or it's like the battery's gone.
Yeah.
I checked the battery, and it wasn't in the greatest of shape, and I put a new battery in, and the same thing. It would start and run fine, and a couple days later, nothing. So I cleaned all the terminals, the hookups, as far as I could find, you know, to the starter, to the ground, to the solenoid. I even took the solenoid out and had that tested, and a mechanic told me that it was good, and I put it back in and cleaned those terminals and the ground to the firewall and all, and put that back in, and again, it wouldn't start.
You turn the key and nothing happens.
That's right.
But sometimes the lights on the dash light up.
Just one light, the brake light.
Does anything else work? Have you tried the wipers, the lights, the radio?
They all work.
And then how do you get it started when that happens?
I jump it from the positive terminal of the battery to the positive side of the solenoid with a jumper cable. And it turns right over and starts up.
Okay, so we know that the battery's good.
Oh, so the battery's fine.
The starter is good.
Yep.
We know the alternator's good.
And that's why you replace the solenoid. Good thinking, Fast Eddie.
This is an automatic transmission truck?
Yes, it is.
How did I know that?
I know how you knew that.
How did you know that?
Let me just make sure that it doesn't click. It doesn't do anything.
Well, when I have the older battery in there and I would start it, the solenoid starter would click away and then it would start.
Okay, yeah. But now when it doesn't start, you hear nothing. Is that true?
True.
Then my brother's right.
You have an automatic transmission.
You have an automatic transmission.
Well, what all automatic transmissions have is something called a neutral safety switch.
Neutral lockout on the column.
Which prevents you from starting the car in any gear other than park or neutral.
Yes.
Except yours has a unique feature. It's preventing you from starting it, period.
Have you ever put it into neutral to try to start it?
And jiggled the shifter.
It gets locked.
No, but when you turn the key to the on position,
it's
unlocked. And then you should be able to move the shifter to neutral.
Oh, into neutral.
Into neutral.
And then try it, and I've done that, and I still get nothing.
Did you bang the dashboard? Did you kick the seats?
No, I've been very nice to this truck. I have not kicked it.
It sounds like a classic case of a neutral safety switch, because you're simply not getting juice from this battery to the starter. the solenoid was a possibility, a good possibility. But if you replace that and it's still doing the same thing.
But you jump it and you tested it.
Right.
Yes.
What you've got to determine now is when you turn the key to the crank position, if juice is getting to the skinny wire on the solenoid, if the solenoid is getting energized.
Because it's either, in this case, the neutral safety switch or the ignition switch itself.
Okay.
But it's the neutral safety switch, I believe.
But if I get power to the solenoid, to that thin wire...
When you're in the crank mode, then...
When I have the key turned over.
That means it's not the ignition switch.
And it's not the neutral safety switch. And in that case, it's the solenoid.
It's the solenoid.
Yeah, the solenoid only costs $7. You might as well try one of those first.
All right, maybe
I will. If you really trust yourself, you can bypass the neutral safety
switch.
It's a very dangerous thing to do.
But in New Hampshire, you'll find anyone to do that for I shouldn't have said that. That was cruel
unwarranted. Cruel. It wasn't unwarranted, but it was cruel.
See you, Eddie.
Okay, guys.
Hey, good luck, Eddie.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary DiPaolo calling you from picturesque Northville, Michigan.
Hi, Mary.
Northville?
Yes.
Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
What is Northville near?
Ann Arbor.
Okay.
Picturesque Northville, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
How nice.
Yes.
So what's up?
I'd like to preface what I'm about to ask you by asking you both if you are familiar with the movie Gaslight.
Of course. Charles Boyer, Ingrid Bergman, and was it Paul-Henri Reed?
I just know Charles Boyer. For those who haven't seen the movie, Gaslight is about this woman who thinks she's going crazy because the lights keep going off and on in her house. Actually, it's not lights. It's old-time...
Gaslights.
Gaslights. And it's her husband who's up in the attic.
Yeah.
Wow. Looking for hidden money.
Yeah, and he keeps turning things up and down. Who knows what he's
lighting
doing.
The light in the attic. And when he does that, the lights in the bedroom go dim, and he convinces her that she's going wacko.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he gets the money, and he runs away with
So, yes, we do... Yeah, who did he run off with? Cher?
I think so.
Charles Boyer and Cher.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so yes, we are familiar with Gaslight.
Good. Well, this is
your husband pulling
husband.
One of these on you?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
The answer is unequivocally yes.
Give us the details.
I'm telling you, this man is something else. He doesn't want me to identify the company that he works for.
Okay.
But let's just say that I've had 6 Mustangs in as many years because of his position.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh.
So he is constantly berating me relative to the way that I drive, park, and deal with the Mustangs.
Yeah.
And so the latest altercation involved the compost.
Yeah.
You know, we have an opportunity to get free compost once a month up and through the month of November, and...
Uh-huh.
I asked him the night before the compost was due to be delivered, can I borrow the truck? Sure, no problem. But of course, you know, he went to work in the truck that morning.
Yeah.
So I remember the compost was there. I saw it on the way to the grocery store and thought, oh, there's a compost. I got to get it. Well, not having any buckets or other large containers
you
in the car
You filled up
with
the
me.
Back seat.
No, the trunk.
The trunk.
The trunk.
Yeah.
Now, 6 weeks, whatever it's been later, because I had to go to New York and, you know, I travel around this and that.
Mm.
He's getting very nervous and he's saying, you got to get the compost out of the trunk or you're going to ruin it.
It's still in the trunk?
There? Yeah.
Okay.
How is it going to ruin it?
Doesn't it, like, smell bad?
No.
Wait, is
nice
it packaged
compost.
Somehow or is it loose compost?
Loose.
Mm-hmm. Now, how are you going to get it out of there?
Shovel.
Yeah, and when you get down to the little crumbs and stuff on the bottom, you're going to just, like, sweep it up and then vacuum it?
No, I thought, is there a hole in the trunk that you can just put it through the hole?
Well, not yet, but I got a feeling there will be.
Well, there might be a hole where the spare tire is.
Oh, there almost always is a drain hole if it has a spare tire well.
Okay, good, because that's what I'll do.
Then you're going to just, like, sweep it into that little well and
And you can remove the carpet from the trunk.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Which will never be the same.
Well, okay, now why is that?
Well,
because you got rotting garbage sitting on it.
Well, I don't agree. I mean, it's dirt.
Right.
If you took a shovel full of dirt out of your backyard and threw it in your trunk, you could leave it there probably forever.
Thank you.
In fact, you could look at the trunk of my Dart.
Yeah, I rest my case.
I mean, what's it going to do? It's dirt.
The reason that they don't call this dirt, it isn't dirt yet. She didn't have dirt delivered to her trunk.
Compost.
Mary had compost. There is a difference. Compost is an intermediate step.
All it's between with, garbage between and garbage dirt.
Garbage and dirt, I believe.
See, not being... Not only not being an expert in dirt and compost, but not knowing a single thing about gardening in general, I will have to defer to my brother, who is the world's consummate.
Well, hardly, but I think this is how we differentiate between garbage, dirt, and compost.
Compost is in the middle somewhere.
I think it's a middle step. It's on its way. It's wannabe dirt.
Wannabe dirt. Huh.
But she says
it doesn't smell at all.
But wait, I'm thinking of keeping it in all winter. You know why?
Wait.
You might as well.
Because the Mustang is so lousy in the snow.
Yeah, that car is the pits. And we live on a downward sloping driveway, yeah. And then you got to go up an incline to get out to the end of our dirt road.
Okay, well, Mary, your husband's going to lose his job if you stay on this little subject. So cool it.
Yeah, especially considering that you gave us your last name and you introduced yourself.
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear that the old boy works for Ford, or used to work for Ford.
Yeah. Well.
Well, so the question is, what is compost? Will it make a mess out of the trunk other than simply getting it dirty? His opinion is it's going to rot things in there. But
yes.
Don't forget, we have carpeting, the rug, which I suppose could be hurt because it's the compost might be moist, and the moistness would probably cause the rugging in the trunk to get what? Yucky.
Decomposed. You will begin to grow mold on things.
Right.
Like you could never have imagined.
Right, but it's not going to hurt the structural integrity of the car, but you probably are going to have to replace the rugs. If you had put down some plastic bags before you threw that stuff in the trunk, when the guy threw the stuff in the trunk, did he say, "Lady, are you sure you want to do this?"
I threw the stuff in the trunk.
All right, lady, are you sure you want to do this?
Didn't they have anyone supervising?
No. Anyone can come along with a Mustang and fill up her trunk with compost, and they don't care.
I'm sure you were the talk of the whole place.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
There were a couple guys that were standing around shaking their heads saying, "Why are you doing this?"
Yeah.
And you just did it because it sounded like it was going to be fun.
I would get that stuff out of there as soon as possible. It can't do any good, and it can only do harm. I'd get it out, I'd yank the carpet out of there and have it shampooed or something, maybe burned at the stake. I don't know.
On the other hand, would you not be willing to invest the price of a lousy trunk rug, probably $20,
to find out what
in
happens.
The interest of science?
Mm-hmm.
It's already been in there for 2 months.
Yeah.
What's another 2 months?
The damage is done, right?
The damage is done. I say leave it there. Take it out in March. Find out what happened in there. And then you can call us back and we'll know. So the next time someone calls and says, "I was thinking of filling my trunk with compost," well, we can say things like, "According to the DiPaolo theory, you can leave compost in a trunk for at least 6 months without undue harm."
Yes. I like that idea.
We'll name it after you.
And especially,
and
I'm
you'll
tell
need
you what.
The you'll need the money that you get from this theorem because your husband's going to be out of work.
But listen, I'm getting the new Mustang in about 6 weeks, so I have to turn this one in.
Oh, you're going to take the compost out of this one and put it in the new one?
No, I'll just leave it in. Let him deal with it over there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, then I'll really have a good theory to work
on. Oh, Mary.
Oh, your poor husband, Mary.
Your husband is a saint.
He's a good guy.
You bet he is. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Who's our esteemed producer?
Well, Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman.
Oh, no kidding.
And our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumph at the West Tisbury Weight Watchers Worcestershire Wheatgrass and Water Diet Way Off, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Who's our public opinion pollster?
Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted, of course, by statistician.
Funny you should ask.
assisted by statistician Marge Olvera. Our customer care representative is, guess who? Hey, would you buzz off? Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler, and our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet.
Yeah.
Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Ottavindo. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our computer hardware specialist is C:\Backslash. Our chief benefactor...
I like him.
...is Myra Chunkel. The president of the Disgruntled Hatchback Owners Club is Ivana Trunk. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekov and Dropov, and our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter.
Who's our chief counsel?
From the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to CIA operatives posing as drunken accordion players in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR commissioner wonders if we're on performance-decreasing drugs whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.